Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas Bereishis as we begin, I guess, another year in terms of the Torah cycle of the Thursday night shiurim. Obviously, at this time, it's a difficult time. Eis Tzor El Yaakov, based on the situation, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, and our thoughts, our hearts, our tefillos are all directed towards Eretz Yisrael. What I'd like to do this evening is maybe look at something a little bit that has to do with the present situation in Eretz Yisrael from a halachic point of view, not to pask anything, of course, but just to explore one area. I entitled the shiur some Torah perspectives on war, and to just understand the nature of the war that's now being waged. Again, not for any halacha lemaisa purposes here, but rather to look at some of the ideas and maybe come to some understanding about certain matters that we haven't thought about that much in terms of war, especially war in Eretz Yisrael. It is Parshas Bereishis, of course, the Shabbos, so we look in the first source in Bereishis, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, the creation of men and women, Vayivra Elokim Es Adam Etzalmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in his image, whether that means a different discussion. And it says, Zohar Nekeva Baro Osam, he created male and female, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Chaf Ches, I mean the second Pasuk in source one, Vayivorach HaSim Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him, and the blessing was, Pru Avu Milus Aretz, right, procreate, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, V'chiv Shuha, and conquer it, v'chiv shuha. So based on that word v'chiv shuha, the Gemara in Yevamah is Taf Samech Hayim and Beis, in source number two, says, Amar Bilayim Yishur Malaz V'shimon, Amar Kor Umilu Esorz V'chiv shuha, Ish Darko Lichbosh V'ein Isha Darko Lichbosh. It is the nature of man to engage in conquest, to conquer. That's man's nature. The Gemara goes on to say that what it means, it says v'chiv shuha in the Pasuk, it sounds like it's talking about both of them, but it's spelled without the vav. So Gemara understands that it's talking about man, that generally speaking, it's men who have the tendency to go out and conquer. That's the man's domain. It's not to say the woman is not allowed to, or so on, but men generally tend to be the ones who are involved in conquest, not women. There's a similar statement that the Gemara makes in the beginning of Kedushin, source number three, Daf Beis Amud Beis in Kedushin. Gemara says in a different context, the darko shall ish lasos milchama bein darko shall ish lasos milchama. It's more the way of men to invade and engage in war, not women. And it may be based on the pasuk in Tehillim, famous pasuk Perek Mem Hei, pasuk Yudal in Tehillim, source four, Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima, right? The women, the Bas Melech, the princesses, the Jewish women, you know, are more inside, not necessarily cooped up in the house in that sense, but rather don't involve themselves in public activity in that way, going out to battle and so on. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says in these couple of places, based at least in one source on the pasuk in our Sedrin Bereishis, that it's darko, that it's the darko shall ish darko lichbosh vein isha darko lichbosh, and that would seem to indicate that as a general rule, women are exempt from going out to war. However, what emerges from a sugya in Mishnah Maseches Sota is something very different. Take a look at source number five. It's a Mishnah in Sota that starts on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph and goes over to Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We're interested in the part on Amud Beis, where the Gemara there, the Mishnah there, is talking about the Chozru Me'orcha Melchama. We know that certain people, the Torah tells us towards the end of Parsha Shoftim, that when the Jewish people went out to war, so there was a Kohen, it's called the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, and other officers would make a speech, and they would say that certain people would not have to go out to battle. A person who just got, just betrothed a woman, a person who just built a home, just built a vineyard. These people, because of their personal situation, were exempt from going out to battle. Also, someone was excessively frightened, and so on. So the Torah describes that in Parsha Shoftim, and that's what's discussed in that Mishnah in Sotan, Daf Mem, Dalam, and Aleph, the name of that Perek. Towards the end of the Perek, the name of the Perek is Perek Meshuach Melchama. And that's why it's discussed there. This is towards the very end of the Perek. So, the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, in that part of the Mishnah, says in the second part of five, "Bemed var mamur." And when is all this true? That's b'lachemes harishus, as Rashi said in source six there in Mem Dalet Amud Beis. "Bemed var mamur de chozun min hamaracha," that they go back from the battlefield, and some don't have to go out in the first place. That's only true b'lachemes harishus, an optional war. B'lachemes harishus. Avo b'mechemes mitzvah kol yotzim. When it's a mechemes mitzvah, everybody's got to go out to battle. Afilu chosen mechedro v'kala michuposa. Even a chosen, a groom, someone just got married, has to leave his house, the kala comes out of the chuppah, they all have to go out for mechemes mitzvah. So there's no, and that includes women, because it says not only chosen, but kala as well. It sounds like a kala also has to go out, the women also have to go out. When it's a mechemes mitzvah, all hands on deck, so to speak, right? Everybody has to participate. That whole exemption at the end of Parsha Shoftim is only by a mechemes mishus, but not by a mechemes mitzvah. Then the Mishnah continues, Amar Yehuda, he had a slightly different version, Amar Yehuda, b'med, v'amor mechamos, mechemes mitzvah, mechemes chova, kol yotzin. He says, no, when the exemptions apply to Mechemes Mitzvah, but a Mechemes Chovo, which is a higher level of obligation, absolute obligation, then HaKol Yotzeh Afilu Chosem Mechadro Mekala Mechuposa. So we'll discuss the difference between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda in just a moment. Looking in Rashi, what's Milchemes Mitzvah? What's a Milchemes Mitzvah? What's Milchemes Mishus? So Rashi, there in Sota Mem Dal Rebeis, the second line of six, source six says, Abba Milchemes Mitzvah could go in Kibush Eretz Yisrael B'mei Yehoshua. Like at the time of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, when Yehoshua led the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael and so on, that was a Milchemes Mitzvah, right? Then HaKol Yotzin, everybody has to participate. And then as far as the Yehuda Rashi, stay tuned when the Gemara will analyze the distinctions. So we take a look in the Gemara on that mission. So to Mem Dal Rebeis, Mamish, the very end of the Perek, Mamish, the very end of the Perek, Meshul Mechama, to the Bevin Ramach, Meshul Amar Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan points out, Rishus de Rabbanon, okay, what the Rabbanon call an optional, or if you will, a discretionary war, Rishus de Rabbanon, who mitzvah the Yehuda, that's what Yehuda calls a Mechemes Mitzvah. And mitzvah de Rabbanon, Zui Chova de Yehuda. That's what Yehuda call, what they call, the Chachamim call, Rabbanan call a mitzvah, Mechemes Mitzvah, he calls that a Mechemes Chovah. In other words, bottom line, is it not really a big machlokas between Yehuda and the Chachamim? It's a difference, for the most part, in the matter of nomenclature. Okay? In other words, they agree as to the type of war which, basically, during the type of war in which the particular exemptions that the Torah presents are applicable. Okay, in other words, they're not arguing about who's obligated in which war. Okay, they're arguing what war, what type of war qualifies as a mitzvah. There's no machlokas in terms of who, you know, of when a person is exempt. Okay, mitzvah the rabbanon is uchov the behuda. Okay, all right. Rashi explains. Source 8, we'll come back to more in a second. Rashi and Mem Dal Rebeis. Rishus to Rabbanan, do we mitzvah to Yehuda? Uba'osa mechama, she'omr chachama, she'i rishus. Ve'ein chosim yotzela, right? That type of mechama, that type of war, which the chachama called rishus, that a chosim and other people don't have to go out to wage, okay? Amanam Yehuda, Yehuda agrees. Ein chosim yotzela. Chosim doesn't have to go out to wage a war. Ella, she'ehuda chorus a mitzvah. He calls that a mechamis mitzvah as opposed to mechamis chovah. In other words, according to Chachamim, there's Mechemes Rishus and Mechemes Mitzvah being a higher type of obligation. And according to Yehuda, he calls Mechemes Mitzvah and Mechemes Chovah. Okay, what's the difference with Mechemes Mitzvah? So the Rashi says, that's the Gemara will conclude, Benafkamila Potra Mishar Mitzvah Ba'odo Osek Ba'konfarish Rav Ozel. That's a, because if it's a Mechemes Mitzvah, then we have a klal of Osek B'mitzvah Potra Mitzvah. So there's again a nomenclature question which will have a ramification as to whether it's called a mitzvah or not, but again, not in the particulars of who's exempt from that war. And next Rashi, Mitzvah Drabonim, Dabar Ba'akol Yotzin, Amar Nam Yehuda Ha'akol Yotzin. That's what the Chacham call a Mechemes Mitzvah, meaning that everybody's got to go out to war, all hands on deck, even men, women, Chosn, Kala, everybody. Rabbi Yehuda agrees Ha'akol Yotzin. And he agrees to that. Ela Dekar Lechova. He calls that a chova, okay? That's the machlokas. That's how Rashi explains. Each one has a slightly higher level than the other. Now the Gemara now elaborates. Omar Rava, back to the Gemara towards the end of the first line of Source 7 on Sota Mem Dal Rebeis. Omar Rava, Milchem. Where does this distinction sort of come to play? Milchamos Yehoshua Lichbosh. The Milchamos raised by Yehoshua, as Rashi noted in the Mishnah back in Source 6 on Mem Dal Rebeis there. Mechemes Yehoshua, the laws of Yehoshua, okay, the wars rather of Yehoshua to conquer the land. Divra kol chova. Everybody agrees that's a chova. All hands on deck. Everybody's got to go. Okay, that's a chova. That's one extreme. Mechemes based David leRavacha, the laws. Okay, Rav is explaining. Okay, look at Rashi about the five lines on the bottom of the page there in Source 8. Mechemes Yehoshua the lichbosh b'ha lekalaman the kar rishos. Nobody calls that rishos. Yeah, the wars of Yeshua, everybody agrees, an absolute chova. No one's going to call that a rishus. Okay, it's an absolute chova, and osik mitzvah potter mitzvah. So the Rabbanan didn't call it chova, they called it a mitzvah. Okay, but everyone agrees, mitzias-wise, and halacha-wise, who has to go out, everybody has to go out to that war. Okay, that's Milchemes Yehoshua Lichbosh. Milchamos based David leRavacha, what does that mean? Rashi says Milchamos based David, three lines on the bottom of Source 8. Okay, in Sotom and Dalma base. Muhammad's base David, Shanilcham Aram, Sovalo, Sifal Eretz Yisrael. The king wants to expand the territory. Wants to expand the territory of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Ubisharasus, Elahalos, Ominicho, Mas Ovid, for tax purposes. The king wants to you know, sort of increase his power and his dominion over other countries. So the king wants to wage war. So under certain circumstances, the king can do that. That's called the Melchemes Rishus. That's a discretionary, an optional war. It's not a mitzvah. You're not conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's land outside Eretz Yisrael. But the king, in the case of David HaMelech, and other kings also wanted to do that, to expand the territory. That, everybody agrees, is Melchemes Rishus. Even Yehuda calls that Rishus. It's no mitzvah. Okay? And if you're involved in another mitzvah, you're exempt from that war. Where is the point of distinction between mitzvah, according to Yehuda, what Yehuda says is a mitzvah, the Chacham Chol Rishus, says the Gemara, Ki pligi lim ute of the Chacham do leisi alayhu. The argument, Rashi, last line of the page, Ki pligi Yehuda Rabbanu mitzvah Rishus de lamar potom and lamar chai mucham ashivi lim ute of the Chacham do leisi alayhu. Okay, what that means is, it's a type of a war which is waged to prevent non-Jews, enemies from attacking. In other words, they won't come. We might call that a preemptive strike. Yeah, like a preemptive strike. They're coming. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's, you know, you're getting ready just in case. That already is a kind of a middle category. Okay, Mar Kol Mitzvah or Mar Kol Rishus. Yeah, that's where the Machlokas comes in this type of Machlokas. This is a preemptive war. Now, does that mean what you call today a preemptive strike would not be Machlokas Mitzvah? That's what it looks like according to Chachamim. It is a Machlokas Mitzvah. According to Yehuda, it's not. Okay, and what's the nafkamina? What you call it? Nafkamina osik mitzvah shapotra mitzvah. Based on principle, you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt, and so on. Anyway, what emerges in this whole sugya, is that for a mechemes, for our purposes tonight, for a mechemes mitzvah, everybody is required to go. And now, so far, we only define mechemes mitzvah as the milchamas of Yeshua, and according to the chachamim, like a preemptive strike, that might also qualify as a mechemes mitzvah. But it's interesting, if you look in Source 9, the Rashash, and that's Sugya in Sota Mem Dalet Rebeis. Okay, if you look at the Mem Dalet Rebeis, Sota, just one moment. Let me just clarify. Even though the Chachamim call that for preemptive strike a Mechemes Mitzvah, but it's not the same as a Chova. So it could be that for that type of Muhammad, you still wouldn't have to go out if you were in the category that the Torah discussed in the Parsha Shoftim. In other words, that's how some of the Farshim explain. It's a kind of mitzvah, but it's not the same as a chova. And that's an important distinction. Even the Chachamim who call it Muhammad's mitzvah, they call it Muhammad's mitzvah for the purpose of, that's how the Gemara concludes, of Osek mitzvah potter mitzvah, meaning there are people who are exempt. And it could be others who are exempt also. It's not the same obligation. The point is, it doesn't require all hands on deck, doesn't require universal involvement. Okay? But when you have a Mechama like that which Yeshua waged to conquer itself, that was a Mechemes Mitzvah. Okay? That's the point of that, what's the emergence in this Gemara. And even women have to participate in that. So Rishash asks, that's a little funny. He says in Source 9, Rishash, Mashal Gam Noshim Yosem Mechama B'chidish. That's a big Chiddush. We usually assume, we saw some Gemaras, women don't go out to war. It means providing other services, cooking, preparing the food, like we see is going on now in Eretz Yisrael. You got all kinds, I'm sure some of you saw videos of people baking, cooking, bringing food and sandwiches and so on and so forth to the soldiers on the battlefield. What do you call that in the military? The quartermaster, no? The quartermaster, right? They're involved in producing and distributing the rations and so on. So that's women. That's what it means, women had to participate. Not that they actually went on to the battlefield. That's what the Rashash says. Okay? And we'll see in a moment, the Radvaz says the same thing. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet, Source 10. When do we say that those people are excluded in the end of Parsha Shoftim? The people some guy just got engaged and some guy just built a house and or planted a vineyard. Then he goes back. That's on Mechemes Rishus. Mechemes Mitzah, Kol Yotzer, Afilu Chos Mechad, Rekal Mechal Posa, even men and women, everybody, bride and groom, everybody's got to go out. So Advaz there says also on that Rambam, Parag 9 of Hilchos Melachim, Melachim Dalan, Advaz also said, Dekoshe, El Dekoshe, look in Source 11. Bechiderach HaNoshim Lasut Mechama, what do you mean? Kala Michoposa. Women go out to war. What about the Pasuk called Kurbas Melach Prima and so on? Yeshlomo, he says, no, it means Kala Michoposa just means because the Chosin goes. So Mele, the Kala leaves the Chopa. There's no Chosin there. Not enough to do anything for the war. That's one answer. But then he gives a second teretz, similar to that of the Rashash. The Rashash is before the Rashash. He writes, V'efshar, the Mechemes Mitzah, Hanosham, Misapkos, Mayim, Umozon, Abalayim. They would bring rations, water, food, and so on. B'chein ha-minig ha-umbevos, and that's what they, in some places, that's the minig today. So women have to participate. Bottom line is, when you have a Mechemes Mitzah, everybody is required to participate in that war. Okay, now, you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the long Mishnah, the way it's printed in the Gemara, in the Mishnais, it's divided up in several Mishnais, but in the Gemara, it's a whole page and a half, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, so on the Bezim and Aleph, the Mishnah says, V'ein motzil v'chemes v'rishuz, el al pi bezin shel shivim v'echad. In order for a king to wage a v'chemes v'rishuz, like to expand his territory, whatever else we mentioned before, okay, the king has to have the permission of Sanhedrin. And we also, this is later, needs the Urim V'Tumim, other things have to be enforced in order for Mechemes Rishus to be waged, okay? As opposed to Mechemes Mitzah, which, you know, everyone goes out, you don't need to consult the Sanhedrin or the Urim V'Tumim or anything else. Okay, that's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So there too, Rashi writes, similar to what he wrote in source number, where was it, back in source number 6, in Sotan and Dalar Beis, Rashi in Sanhedrin, Beis Manav, also writes, in source 13, Mechemes Rishus, Kol Melchoma Kar Rishus, Levad Mechemes Yoshua, Shehoyz Alech Bosh Eretz Yisrael. Rashi tells us every Melchoma, and that would imply that nowadays, obviously, every Melchoma is a Mechemes Rishus, because we're not now looking to conquer the land in the days of Yoshua. So the Rashi seems to hold that there's no longer any Mechemes Mitzvah. Mechemes Mitzvah is limited to Yoshua conquering the land. That's what Rashi said, and so he said in Sanhedrin as well. However, if you take a look in the Perish HaMishnayis, in that Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in the Mishnayis, it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey. Said it's a long Mishnah on the Gemara's presentation, but the Mishnayis divided up. So it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey. The Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah 14, Umechemes Horshus, Himechemes Amon Omoav Yishmael V'Domehem. That's a battle against surrounding enemies and so on and so forth, like the king wants to expand his territories and so on. But Mechemes Mitzvah, he writes, Himechemes Amalek V'Shiva Amon Yuvad. He adds Amalek into the mix. Rashi only said Yoshua, that was the Shiva Amon, the seven nations, Kanani, Chiti, Amor, Prizi, Chiti, Girgashi, Chivi, and so on, the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael. So to drive them out, that was a Mechemes Mitzvah, like Rashi said, the Rambam said, he also throws in Amalek. Now, that would, at first glance, not seem to have any bearing on any contemporary situation nowadays, because there's no Amalek anymore either, right? There's no battle of Amalek anymore. However, there's a very interesting comment that Rav Soloveitchik made. It's printed in Kol Dodi Dofek and elsewhere as well. And I forgot to print, you know, in my haste after Yontif to print these sheets. I forgot to print this Rambam. But in Hilchos Melachim, in Perek Dalad, the Rambam describes the mitzvah to fight the Shiva Amamin, right? To wage war with the Shiva Amamin. Okay. And as well, the Rambam writes to, wage war against Amalek. But it's interesting that in his presentation, Alach Adalad there, of the battle against the Shiva Amun, the Rambam writes, it doesn't apply anymore today because Kvar Ovat Zichron. We have no idea anymore who they are. We don't know who's a Kanani, who's a Chiti, a Mori, right? The average, you know, non-Jew, even in the Middle East, we don't know where he descended from. So, you know, if we assume Lahalacha, there are 70 nations, so, and these are only seven, so it's 1 in 10, it's only 1 in 10, to 90%, the guy's not from, any guy today is not a descendant of those nations. So we don't know who they are anymore. The very next halacha, the Rambam talks about Amalek, and you would expect him to say, oh, same thing, the halacha doesn't apply anymore today, because we don't know who descends from Amalek either, but the Rambam doesn't say it. He doesn't repeat the words of Kvar Ovad Zichron, that we don't know who they are anymore. Interesting. So some say, okay, because he just said it in the previous halacha, he doesn't have to say it again. But Rav Soloveitchik was Medayik, I don't remember, I think he may have said it in the name of Chaim, that's because Amalek is different. Okay, Amalek, the status of Amalek is not limited to people who might be the biological or physical descendants of that ancient tribe, but rather anybody who picks up the credo of Amalek to destroy Jews is halachically in the category of Amalek. And that's why the Rambam says in theory, Amalek can exist still today, because even though the person may not biologically or physically be a descendant, with the DNA from a descendant of that tribe called Amalek in ancient times, because they're gone also, but there are plenty of people who pick up the mantle of Amalek and behave like Amalek in terms of the relationship with the Jewish people. So therefore, their halacha and the status of Amalek. If that's the case, one could argue certainly the enemy present in Eretz Yisrael certainly can be classified as Amalek. They want to wipe out the Jewish people, no question about it. Okay, I mean, they've even said that there should be attacks on Jews all over the world tomorrow, right? We heard the news, right? So they want to wipe out. They're not interested in a two-state solution and this and that and all the other nonsense that others talk about. They're interested in getting rid of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael and worldwide, period. Okay, so maybe they'll qualify as Amalek, which would mean that the war against them, like we're waging right now, wouldn't be in the category of Mechemes possibly in the category of Lechemes Mitzvah, because the Rambam threw in Amalek. Rashi didn't say it, but the Rambam threw that in. Another relevant Gemara is the Gemara in Erevin Daf Mem Hayaman Aleph, source 15. Erevin Mem Hayaman Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Nochrim Shetzaru Alayaros Yisrael. If non-Jews attack Jewish cities, right? They attack a Jewish city. And Erevin is talking about on Shabbos. Ein Yotzin Alem B'Klei Zanan V'Ein Mechalan Alas on Shabbos. You cannot be Mechal Shabbos. You cannot go out with weapons and so on and be Mechal Shabbos, okay, to fight them, okay? The Gemara, as Rashi says, they will qualify that in a moment. Tanya Mihochi again, Nochim Shetzoro, etc., etc. The Gemara says, B'med Dvar Momer, when is that true? Kishabo al Iske Momon. When they're coming in to invade, to get money, to loot, you know, like pirates or these marauding tribes, whatever. They're not interested in killing anybody. They want to come in, they want to loot, okay? They want to plunder, okay? So there, to protect your money, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to. Shabbos is not, you know, Shabbos is not, Shabbos is more important than your financial possessions. So therefore, if there's no danger to life and so on, they're just coming in to loot. So then you're not allowed to defend yourself fully on Shabbos because we don't allow Chilul Shabbos just to protect, you know, to protect one's monetary concerns. However, Aval Boal Iske Nefoshos, but if they're coming in to wage a war to take life and so on, then Yotzanan Bekleizanan Mechalan Lashon Shabbos, then you can take up your weapons and go out and fight Mechalan Shabbos, whatever you have to do. Okay? Whatever you have to do. So that's probably the more common case, certainly nowadays. So there's no question that the Chilul Shabbos is allowed. And then the Gemara adds, Ubi'ira Smuchala Sapar. You have a city that's near the border. Sapor means the border. Rashi says there in 16, there's an Arab Memhaya Amin Aleph, the Sapor, Ir Shemavdela is being Gul Yisrael and Gul Omos. It's right on the border between Eretz Yisrael and you know, the neighboring country. Then Yotanam says, Rashi Shem, to do Misham Teinocha or the Kabeshiv Nehem. Then, no matter why they come, you're going to surrender and you're going to give up all your money and you're going to weaken that city, then the next guy can come in much more easily. Okay, so then we hear smuchel sapar filo bal iske nefoshos el iske tevin v'kash. They're just coming because they're hungry. They need straw. They need whatever else. Still, yotel v'klei zaynon u'mechal el esos Shabbos. That's the sugya in Erevin Mem Hey Amud Aleph. So it would appear, okay, that Gemara is talking about a situation of mechemes mitzvah and not a mechemes reshus. Because first of all, because this is a Gemara being written in Amruhud Amarav. It's written in Bavel, right? Well, there's no melech, right? We mentioned earlier that you need a Sanhedrin. There's no Sanhedrin, there's no Ur Metumim. You need a Bezna Shim Echad for a Mechames Rishus. And you need a Melech. So this Gemara is talking about military activity as part of a Mechames Mitzvah. Okay, because the time of the Amorim when Rav is talking, none of that existed. Okay, so clearly we're talking about a Mechames Mitzvah. Furthermore, we'll see later, you can't wage a Mechames Rishus on Shabbos. Okay, because it's not a Mitzvah. Again, unless lives are at stake. But I mean, the first part of the Gemara is talking when they're coming, you know, not for taking any lives. So what kind of war is that? It's got to be a Mechames Mitzvah there because if it's a Mechames Rishus, there'll be nothing to talk about. You're not a wage on Shabbos anyway. So keep that in the back of your head. Let's look in the Rambam. Perek Beis of Hilchos Shabbos, Halachah Gimel, 17. Goyim Shetzor Ares Yisrael, Imbal Iske Mamon, Ein Mechalanes of Shabbos, Ein Osir Melchoma, Ubi'ir Asmuch Lesapo, Afilo Bo, Ela Aliske Tev Mekash, Yotzen HaMechleizan, and so on, Mechalanes of Shabbos, like we learned. Okay, but if they're coming, aliske nefashas, lives are in danger. Osha archo mechama, osha tzoru stam. They're waging war. Okay, or they come. We don't know why they come. They start asking kashas. Are you here for lives or are you just here for money? You know, right? If it's not sure they come stam, then yotel mechleizan and mechanas and shabbos and so on. And then he writes, umitzvah al kol. That's not talking about mechamis mitzvah. Umitzvah al kol Yisrael sheichol lovo lotzeis velazor lachem shemotzor. And anybody else, sounds like it means even from another town. My town wasn't affected. Well, my neighborhood wasn't affected, but one area was. It's a mitzvah on every Jew can to go fight and to help. Okay? You can't wait and see when they're going to be from. Let's wait till Motzei Shabbos. You know, a few hours, then I'll go help. No, the Rambam says, also ahen l'smamele Motzei Shabbos. They got to wait for a bit of time. No, also ahen l'smamele Motzei Shabbos. Right? Ukshetzilu etzachay. Not only that, but when they were successful, muto ahen lachzor b'chlei zayin shalom mekom b'Shabbos. They can go back with their armor, with this, even though it's violent in Shabbos. Now, before to come to defense of other people and other neighborhoods and so on, you can carry whatever else on Shabbos, okay. But now that the war's over, let's say the enemy's retreated, it's over. the Rambam says you can still go back with your stuff because otherwise maybe you won't come next time. They make the guy stay. They won't come next time. Similar to the discussion of a doctor, you know, who goes, or a Hatzalah person who goes, volunteers to go save someone's life. You can make them stay in a hospital the whole Shabbos and they won't, next time they'll think twice about coming. It's the same idea over here. The same thing appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Shabbos, Aruch Chaim, Simen Shin, Chof, Tes, Ziv, Vav. Akum, Shatzar, Iris, Yisrael. That's on the same thing. You can be Mechal Shabbos. And in Ziv, Vav, Mechaber adds, Yesh, Misha, Omer, Shabizman, Hazeh, Afilu, Boy, Al, Iske, Mamon, Mechalim. No matter what, you always mechal Shabbos because you never know. Because Shem Lo Yanechanu Yisrael Lishlo Lavoz Yargenu. Because Mamon Yargenu. You say, wait, don't take my money; they'll kill you. Right? So it's always for nefashos. Lamaisa, it comes out; they're always coming for nefashos. And Haray, and okay, it says we call Mokum a call for you, and then you have to assess the situation. Okay, but if there's any suffix, that's what the Mishabur writes. I printed the Mishabur there in Sukkot and Yud Beis 19. We shall have said Mamon Lahutar Yisra Shabbos, right? To prevent monetary loss, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos. Okay, if you're going to lose your a client, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos, too bad, right? And a filu stam, even if they're coming, you don't know why, and if it's a suffix, so you don't have to investigate. Suffix Nabosh Lahakil, and so on. Or he talks about the Sapar and so on, but he writes in Tezayin, he's got in Tezayin. Shehim Lo Nechen, Vahanim Ikshabo Al Rabim, Tebevada Yesh Lach Yom Echad Negdom, Lo Yitza Temamono. A marauder's coming to my house, so maybe I have to sit back and let them take whatever one, because I'm not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save my property. But if they come against the whole town, there's going to be one guy who's going to give him a hard time, and the pastor kill him. So then, that's what he says today. Everybody, it's always considered they're coming from the Foshos. But again, it's a quote, Nizana, call it for the Indian. You have to Mishai, you have to see what the situation is. Okay? But again, the Mishabur writes, the Dad, the Hayom, Kishabom, Uwe, Shechutz, the Goyen, Lishlol, Shol, Levoz, Boz. Okay, they're coming for plunder. Okay, because that's what the law requires and so on. Okay, you know, any type of war you defend yourself. So that would be a nafkamina by Mechemes Mitzvah, that it's allowed even on Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos. That's by Mechemes Mitzvah. One other thing which we alluded to a moment ago, there is a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, and that Parsha which talks about the people go back, you know, not only to go fight. So Perkov, among other laws of war, says in Perkov of Dvarim, Pasuk Yutes, Kisotol Ir Yomim Rabim, when you besiege a city, so you're not allowed to cut down the fruit trees. That's the original Baltashkis, okay, which is, again, a discussion of the time, except the Pasuk Chof. If it's not a fruit-bearing tree, you can cut it down. Anyway, at the end it says, the people you're fighting against, Osim Chomachoma Ad Rita, until you've brought them down. So the Gemara has in Shabbos, the Yud Testament Aleph, a general rule 21, Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Tzorin Alayaros Machrim, Pachos Mishosham Kodom Shabbos. You should not start, you should not start up with them. We're not talking about now where they came to you. You should not wage a war with them, okay? Should not start within 3 days of Shabbos. Because it means probably you'll have to fight on Shabbos, or at least they'll take away from the joy of Shabbos. So you start early in the week. There are a lot of things which one should try and avoid doing within 3 days of Shabbos, because it may lead to Chil Shabbos. Officially, you're not allowed to get on a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. Again, the exceptions today, it's different because, you know, it's circumstances change. But anyway, that's this Gemara. But if a war started, then ain't mafsik, you don't have to stop on Shabbos. Okay, and that's from the Pasuk, I'd read it to feel it Shabbos. All right, and that's the din. Perak Beis of Hilchos Shabbos Lacha Chafei. The Rambam writes 22. Tzorin Alaros Hagoyim Shloshim Kodom Shabbos. If you start the war to fight with them, that's got to be 3 days before Shabbos. But then you can fight Afilu B'Shabbos Ad Shekovshin also. Afal Pish Mechamis Roshus. Even a Mechamis Roshus. Okay, but Kavachomer to Mechamis Mitzvah. All right, so as he says at the end, Ve'ein Tzorachlo Mechamis Mitzvah. Below Kavash Yoshu Yericho Al B'Shabbos. The very first battle in Eretz Yisrael was Yeshua, you know, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. So Yeshua fought Yericho was on Shabbos. The walls, they circled the city one time each day, 6 days a week, then circled seven times Shabbos, the walls came down. So it was Taka on Shabbos. Rambam also says this in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Vav, Halach Yud Aleph. They tzorin al ayar, shal akum, shal shem, kodom Shabbos, v'osin, v'mechamim, chol yom, v'yom, afil, v'shabbos. Okay, and that's even by a Mechamis Rishus, but certainly by a Mechamis Mitzvah. Now, we also mentioned that once there's a war going on, and certainly in the Mechamis Mitzvah, that earlier Gemara Sanhedrin, that you could even go back. If you came out to the battlefield to fight, and now the war is over, you won on Shabbos, you can carry stuff back. The Mishnah says in Erevin, that's the Mishnah on which the Gemara we saw before was commenting on. So it says in Erevin, Mem Dalma Beis 24, anybody who goes to save somebody is allowed to go back. Like I said before, with the doctor. Okay, and in 26, the Gemara discusses how far can you go back, even a huge distance, even outside the Tum. Okay, that's in Erevin, Mem Hem and Aleph, even outside the Tum. And all right, so that's some discussion, which maybe we don't need to go into great detail now, because you only have 2,000 amos. It's still a lot, but maybe you can't go beyond 2,000 amos. You look in the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perchav Zayin, Aluch Yud Zayin. He writes in 28, Kol Ayotzin Lahatzel Nefashel Yisrael Miad Goyim Miad Anor. Doesn't have to be a war. You go to save people, there's a great flood. You heard there's a great flood, Jews are in danger, or an earthquake or something like that. So then you have 2,000 amos. Okay, but
anybody else having trouble here?
Oh, sounds no good.
Now I'm fine.
You're fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, anyway, so the, and under other circumstances, you can even go back, you know, as far as you need to go. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Also, Paskins and Hilchos Erevin, Hilchos Tumen, Tav Zayin of Aruch Chaim, Siv Gimel. Okay. In other words, you can go back, and, you know, if you're afraid of no matter what, okay, if you're afraid you're going to leave your weapons. Okay, so that's the idea of that in terms of. That's even by Mechamis Rishus, but certainly by Mechamis Mitzvah. So getting back to our main subject. So we mentioned what's the status. We're looking at what is the status of the war going on today, right now in Eretz Yisrael with Hamas and so on. Well, if you categorize that them as Amalek, which you can, then certainly, that would be in the category of a Mechamis Mitzvah. Okay. Also, what the Gemara Erev, right? If they're Amalek, so that's a Mechamis Mitzvah according to Rambam. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi only said the Shiva Amun. But the days are sure, but the Rambam included Amalek. Also, we look in the Gemara and Erev and Mem Hei, which we said before, is likely talking about a Mechemes Mitzvah. Again, Nochrim Shetzoru Alei Yoros Yisrael. They started up with us. And that may be the Mokor for an interesting comment of the Rambam. You look in the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph 31. He writes, Ezer Mechemes Mitzvah. So here he says, in the Parish HaMishnah, which we saw back in the Parish HaMishnah, Sanhedrin, on the Bay, you know, Perik Aleph Mishnah. Hey, where was that? Where was that? Perisha Mishnah again. I can't find it. But the Rambam writes in the Perisha Mishnah. There it is. I can't find it right now. But okay, the Rambam in Sanhedrin. Oh, here it is.
In 14.
He says Mechemes Mitzvah is Amalek and Shiva Amim and Bilvad. But here he adds something. Rambam writes, Ezo Mechemes Mitzvah, Zu Mechemes Shiva Amim, good. Mechemes Malek, good. The Ezras Yisrael Miyad Tsar Shabu Aleihem. To assist Jews from an enemy that comes upon them. Now, where did he get that from exactly? It's not clear. All right? That nobody said before. Maybe the Mokers is Gemara and Erevin on Mem Hamid Aleph back in Source 15. Nochem Shetzor al Eretz Yisrael may well be talking about, you know, that you can take your weapons and so on and so forth. Now, the Gemara, full disclosure, doesn't call it a Mechemes Mitzvah. The Gemara just says you can violate Shabbos and you can carry your weapons and whatever else. The Gemara never says that that's defined as a Mechemes Mitzvah. So it's a Chiddush in the Rambam. That's what I'm pointing out. It's a Chiddush in the Rambam here in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph Vichos Melachim that included in the Mechemes Mitzvah not only Mechemes Shiva Amim and Mechemes Amalek, but also Ezra Yisrael. Miyad Tsar Shabalim.
Yeah, but to be fair, the Gemara doesn't classify it as anything, so the Rambam has
That's correct. I got you. He's okay. Again, but it may well be the Rambam's Mokka. I don't know. Okay, it may well be the Rambam's Mokka, but again, the Gemara doesn't call him a Chemes Mitzvah.
He's using the same Lashon, so right. You got to be a little...
Like I said before, since this is a statement of Rav, who's in Bavel, there was no Mechemes Mitzvah in those days because there's no Melech and no Sanhedrin. So right. Probably is a Mechemes Mitzvah, but the Gemara doesn't use the nomenclature, but it's a point.
Okay.
But there is Yerushalmi. Sota Perkes Halacha, same sugi in Sota, the end of that eighth parak, Mashur Muhammad. Perkes Halacha Yud. So there, it's interesting. It says, Rabbi Huda Hayakor Mechemes Rishus. Rabbi Huda said, what's a Mechemes Rishus? Kigon Anan de Azlin Aleihon. That's when we go out to fight against them. Well, Mechemes Chova, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but it's Mechemes Chova, Kigon de Asyan Inun Aleinon. When they come upon us. So Yerushalmi says Mefurish, that at least according to Rabbi Huda, that's a Mechemes Chova. Okay. And the Pnei Moshe explains, right, that he says, what is Mechemes Chova? You look in the second, In other words, he says that first he discusses that machokas what Yehuda and Chama arguing about. But look at the second play Moshe in source 33. B'chamis chove the Chama Yehuda that kol yotzin. Okay, that's even if the shkigon shabo over the Chama is also aleinu. Okay, so that he calls a chova. So it's interesting. The Shiori Karban, that's when the Karban Eda is one of the commentaries on the Yerushalmi. And again, the Karban Eda is a Rashi-style commentary, you know, explaining each word. The Shiori Karban is a Tosa-style commentary with a Kasha from another Gemara, whatever else. So the Shiori Karban there in Sota Perkas Lachiyud, Mechemes Rishus, he quotes in the Knesset Gedola, he says that he quotes that Rambam, who says that the Rambam we saw in 31, that included on the Mechemes Mitzvah is Ezra Yisrael Miyad Tzar Shabbalim. He has a little problem. He says, Shema Minod, the Sovar Kar Yehuda. Who makes that statement, Yushalmi? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Now that's the minority view. Rabbanan didn't say that. So the Knesset HaGdola, quoted by the Shari Karban, Karban Eda, is a little puzzled why the Rambam suddenly paskins Zarka Yehuda. Okay, and that's a stick of a dochek, and then he tries to figure out, maybe it's in the Bavli like that also, but he says, but the Carbonate himself says in the third line of 34, no, Dvar of Tmuin, very strange. What's he about Avada that he says, Mi ikalaman da arma de ezitol miyad tarshman lav mitzvahi? He says, of course that's him. The Gemara doesn't say explicitly. Good. And as Yucham said, it didn't say otherwise either, that Gemara Irvin, so maybe that's the Rambam source, but the Carbonate goes further here in the Shari Carbonate. You don't have to say it explicitly. It's obvious. If the Goyim are attacking us and our towns, and we have to, you know, Avada to Mechamed Smitzah, and he brings the Raya. Even an individual, there's a din of Rodef. We're going to come back to that. Okay, if someone, a Nirdaf, someone's chasing after your life, you can defend your life. We don't need a mucker for that. And if it's other, and if you can, and someone's not coming after you, but he's coming after somebody else, we have a din of Losamad Amrecha. You can't just stand by if you're in a position to help. So, and other sources we'll see in a second. So, therefore, what he talks about when the Bavli said a preemptive strike, so not a preemptive strike when they've already, you know, so they already started up with us. That, he says, means, well, we're not sure, right, that the parish is second line. What does that mean, the preemptive strike? That's only Rishus. That's She'osim Acham Shechem She'esh Lochush. We're afraid, maybe, Shebarov Hayam, eventually they'll make a Mechama, and that's what we're going to start up now. Maybe that would be qualified as Mechama Rishus. But once they've already waged war, they started up with us, they attacked us like we had last Shabbos. That's Avada. Mechama says, you hear the Shari Karban saying, maybe when the Bavli, you have to look back at the source, on Mem Dalad Amid Beis in Zota, because it said that there the Mechemes Rishus, according to the Chachamim, is to defend yourself, to preemptive strike. So the Shari Karban says, yeah, but that's meaning not a strike when the war is already in place. They started up already. That's when you're not sure. Maybe a year from that, so now you want to take a preemptive strike. That may be in the category of Rishus. But if they've already started up, Avadat Mechemes Rishus. The Maria Aponim, the other commentary, the main commentary in the Yerushalmi, or the only commentary in the entire Yerushalmi, is the Pnei Moshe. So that's also a Rashi-style commentary. And he has also a Tosa-style commentary called the Maria Aponim. So in 35, the Maria Aponim there in Sota, Parakas, he also writes, again, he says, Why is Ezra Yisrael, asked on the Rambam, why does the Rambam say that that's a Mechamas Ezra Yisrael Miyad Tzarshman, why is that a Mechamas Mitzvah? Okay, I thought we said in the Bavli, a preemptive strike is not allowed again. He said, no, that's not what I mean. Okay, this a similar idea. Tzarech Loman, on the top of the next page, Odas Rabbeinu, that's talking about, again, similar type of thing that we don't know what's going to be down the road. And so on. That's maybe a Mechemes Rishus. But look at the last words of 35. Everybody's going to agree to Mechemes Mitzvah if they've already attacked us. And the Karen Ora says the same thing. His comment, Karen Ora, is on commentary on certain Masechtas. So he has on Sota there on Mem Dalam Beis. On that page, he quotes the Rambam and he says the same thing. He says that the everybody quotes the Rishalmi, and he says that everybody agrees. I feel chosun lechedo if they've attacked us, and other Rishalim seem to say that too. The Meiri, and that's in Sota, it's Mem Beis Manalef from the Meiri, 37. Omar Meiri kol milchamash malchi Yisrael. Oh man, he gave him. Does have to be a king. Any other leader, anybody who's in control of the nation, who otherwise, that Ramban says at one place in Chumash, anybody doesn't have to be a king. Anybody who's a leader, milchamu avam hein milchamis mitzvah kagon. Mechemes Shiva Amin, umechemes amalek, and he also says, the Miri does, umechoma im kol tsar haboelein lahashis nachalosam. Okay, and he concludes under mechemes mitzvah. Okay, and then he says it's also true about other mechamas, but again, my point is he includes on mechamas mitzvah, mechama im kol tsar haboelem lahashkis nachalosam. Okay, and the Or Zeruah actually says something which maybe prompts Ramon and Hilchos Shabbos and Sim Pei Dalet Osim Gimel. He also said again, you can take up arms and take up your weapons, so that they won't come to fight because we ain't redacting because that was really another issue. Okay, but anyway, the Rambam, it's a chiddush. Maybe based on one error, but it is a bit of a chiddush, and maybe he says it too, that because the Gemara never said it specifically, but the Rambam counts, and the Miri counts, under Mechamis Mitzah and Mechama when the Goyim started up with us. So therefore, that would mean that what's being waged today is undoubtedly Mechamis Mitzah. We need all hands on deck, there's no exemption, so we have to do everything with Chal Shabbos, everything needs to be done for the war effort. Now, we saw in the Shari Korban, he said it's similar to a Rodev, right? A rodef is somebody chasing after someone with clear intent to kill. So if you have that by an individual, so certainly here. But I'd like to suggest that that's not enough. I don't think that's the sole basis of the Rambam's comment. Okay, now what's a din? Because what's a din by a rodef? So that's a mission in Sanhedrin, Daf Ein Gimel Aleph 39. You can save somebody else, prevent someone from killing, even if you have to kill that person. You see someone coming after someone with a knife, they're trying to kill him, you can stop him, even if it means killing him. And that's what the Rashi explains over there. And going out, you save him from doing that avera, even by killing him. Learn that from Psukim. Fine, what are the Psukim? So the Gemara will learn that from Psukim on Ein Gimel Aleph, but I printed the Psukim first one, in Parashat Kedoshim, Vayikra Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Design 41, First half is Loselech Rocha Vamecha, don't be a gossip. But then Lo Samar Al Damar Yachare Hashem, don't stand idly by the blood of your brother. Another source, Pasuk Parshat Kiseitze, Per Kof Beis, Pasuk Kof Hei and Chavov, the Tupsukim. Okay, talk about someone raping a woman. Okay, and it says over there someone attacks a woman in a place where she can't get any help, and someone's out in the field somewhere, no one to help her, and so on. So he's executed for that crime. Okay, it's a Nara Morosa, she's already betrothed to somebody. Again, the details aren't so important for us right now, but Omei Say Shahu, it says at the end of Pasuk Chav Ches, I'm sorry, Chav Hei, I mean, and Pasuk Chav Vav, it says at the end, Ki Kasher Yakum Yisrael or Tzocho Nefesh, Kena Dovar Zed. It's like murder. Okay. And one other source, someone unlikely source, Pasuk Ki Seite, Perkov Beis, Sukma Aleph and Beis, talk about the mitzvah of Hashavas Avedim. You see somebody's ox or some other type of thing that belongs to somebody else, you have to return it. And if you're not able to return it right away, you have to hold on to it until you can claim it. And by Shavuot, so you can give it back. You put all that together. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ayin Gimel Aleph, source 44. Tanar Banan, Minayin Lerodim, Harela Hargo, Shnita, Natsil Benafsho. How do we know that if you chase after someone, you can stop him even if you have to kill him? Talmud Lomar, Asamad Adam Reacha. Then the Gemara says, well, Asamad Adam Reacha teaches other things. Okay, if somebody is drowning or if someone's being attacked by a wild animal, but it doesn't make it clear that you have to jeopardize your own life. You have to, you can even kill the guy. It doesn't make that clear. So the Gemara learns it out from the Kal Vachomer. No, but it says from like a Nara Moroso. Okay, it learned out from there. And the Gemara said, but ain't no Shem in the Din. You don't learn such a punishment from a Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara learns that. No, they answer that. Kasha too. You can read through the Gemara. And at the end, the Gemara says, if there's a mitzvah, Shabbos Aveda, to return somebody's lost item, you find somebody's wallet, you have to return it to him. If you're in position to return his life to him, Avada, you have to do it, right? This guy's in danger, about to be stabbed to death. If I find his wallet, I got to return it to him. So if I find his life, so to speak, I can save his life. Avada, you have to do it. And it even means you got to expend money to do it and so on and so forth. So that's the sugya in Sanhedrin, Ein Gimel Aleph, in terms of Rodev. So it could be, if that's the din of Rodev, we pass like that, la halacha. I have all the Rashi's there in 45. We don't need to go through that. Now, if you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Aleph Ates, you can't have any mercy on a rodev. If someone's trying to kill someone, you got to stop him, even if you got to kill him. Don't have mercy on him. And Halacha Yudalid, 46, second part of 46. Of Hitzil. Someone had ability to help. If you didn't have the ability to help, okay. Let's say a guy's drowning and you can't swim. That's a different story. Okay, but if you can, or if you can't, if you can defend it and save this guy by defending him and save it even by killing the other guy, you got to do it. Okay, because otherwise you violate lo samar al dam reacha. And it says the same thing. You see somebody drowning or you see somebody being attacked by muggers and so on and so forth. You You do everything you have to do, even if it's hiring somebody and so on. And even if you hear that somebody's coming to invade, you have to do everything you can. Okay? So it could be, like the Sherry Corbin says, well, that's the mucker. Okay? How do we ask, how does the Rambam know that included in the Mechamis Mitzvah is when Goyim attack our cities? Okay? We have it's a Mechamis Mitzvah to fight back. What do you mean? So the Sherry Corbin said, what do you mean? It's learn from Rode, even by an individual basis. So here they're coming against the whole city, against the whole town, against the whole country. They're attacking Nevada. There's a mitzvah to fight back. Here's a mitzvah. And the Rambam says, you don't do it. You violate a law. So Nevada, it's a mitzvah to get involved, to go fight the guy back on a private level. Only one person in danger. So Kavachoma, the whole team was in danger. But the problem is, to learn it from Rodef alone is insufficient. Why? Because we have a din in Sanhedrin, the same sukkah in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalam Alam, 47. The Tanya, Yerushalayim, and Shaul Omer, Rodev she rodev acha chaver lahargo v'yochol latzil be'achav me'rovav lo hitzil haragolo. There we go. The Rambam paskens that way. Okay, what does it mean? Okay, if someone's chasing after him, I can stop him without killing him. I can shoot him in the leg. Okay, or I can whatever jump him. I can do something else that won't involve killing him. But I have to try that first. Okay, I have to do that first. You look at the Rambam Hilchos Utzach Perak Aleph Al Yigimel 49. Kol yochol latzil me'aver me'varav. A little tark b'chach, just easier for me to shoot in the head. I didn't try not to. Then that's when you're like a shofar dom, you're like a murderer. Okay, you're not executed, Ram says, but if you're like a murderer, Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpah, the very end, towards the end of Choshen Mishpah, Siman Tov Chof Hey, Siv Aleph, okay, tells you the din of Rodev. But again, the din of Rodev is such that you have to try to harm him without killing him first. We don't find such a din by Mechamis Mitzvah. We don't find that by Mechamis Mitzvah waging war against the enemy, you should try first to avoid killing them. All right, so that's what I'm saying. It's not. It seems to me that it's, you know, again, Mechil's quote the Sherry Corbin, just to say it's learned from Rodei, from Osama al Damriyecha, and from Shabbat Aveda, and so on. Like he said, it's going to fall a little bit short because that would mean that on Mechamis Mitzvah, if you're basing it on Rodei, that would mean that you know you'd have to try, you know, during the war. To destroy the enemy some other way. And that's not always possible. So I'm not sure that that's a complete mucker. Furthermore, there's something else, okay, by Rodev. Now, another reason I think Rodev is an insufficient source, okay, there is a Tosfos Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalam Beis, 51, okay, that if I'm passive, so I'm not, and if I'm in danger and so on, I can be passive, I'm not obligated to put my own, I can't do something to kill somebody else to save my own life. All right, that's a rule. All right, if my life's in danger, let's say they say to me, they hold a gun to my head, say, either you kill him or we're going to kill you. You can't kill the other person. The Gemara has an expression, who says your blood is redder or sweeter than his? All right, I can't kill someone else to save my own life, but I can be passive. That's what emerges in Tosfos. I'm not obligated to give up my life for somebody else. So that's an interesting question. By Rodef, let's say I see a guy coming after someone with a gun, and I'm obligated to get involved. Yeah, but he might turn and shoot me. Am I obligated to risk my own life to save somebody else? I'm not such a good swimmer. Okay, the guy's drowning. Am I obligated to jump into, you know? So that's a very interesting question. Is a person obligated or even allowed to put his own life, to endanger, to risk his own life to save somebody else? Not so clear. The Kesef Mishnah, Yosef Karo, in two places. In the Kesef Mishnah, Hichos Rotzeach, Perak Aleph, Yudalad, 52, and also in 53, in the Beis Yosef, both places he quotes our ghost Maimonides, which is not in the regular ghost Maimonides print in the Rambam, but it's in the so-called Constantine edition. It says, he quotes Yerushalmi without telling where the Yerushalmi is. That's a big literature too, not for tonight. That afilu lahachnis atzmo v'sofek sakona chayim. Yes, you do have to put yourself in potential danger to save somebody else. That's the Beis Yosef quotes this Yerushalmi. Okay, and he says, "V'nirish atam neshalav vader who suffered because the other guy is definitely in danger. You're only possibly in danger. The other guy is definitely in danger." And that's what he says in the Beis Yosef too. However, despite saying it in the case of Misha and the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber Yosef Karo, same person, does not quote this din in Shulchan Aruch. And the commentaries on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch take note of that. The Sma, the Mir Sinai, 54, in Siman Tov Chavav, that's the end of the Shulchan Aruch, it's Choshen Mishpah. And Sukkot Beis, he quotes that same Igos Maimonides, and he also discusses where the Yerushalmi is, not for tonight, okay, where the Yerushalmi is, but he says, the Nirish, he quotes the whole Beis, so he writes the last line and a half of 54. The Mechaber left it out. Amar and Rav Moshe, the Rambam also doesn't pipe up and bring it up either. And he says, "Mizei Yeshomer Kavan Shaposkim Harif VaRambam VaRosh VaTur Lo Heviu." That's why he left it out. At the end of the day, most poskim, the great poskim, the Tur, and of course the three major Rishonim, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, they don't quote this deal. You have to risk your life to save somebody else. Mashma, you don't have to. Okay, the Radvaz writes in a tshuva like that, Chele Gimel, some tough Reish Chav Zayin, overall tshuva, Elef Nun Beis, 55. He also talks about this, and he says that, you know, a person does not have to give up even a limb and so on and so forth, okay, to save somebody else. And if there's a suffix that comes to Fosas, he says, if you get involved in a situation where you put your own life at risk and so on, Sarkonis Nefoshos, he calls you a chosin shote. You're a pious idiot. Okay, you know, you're trying to save somebody else and you don't do that. Okay. Pesach Tshuva also there in Siman Tov Chavav, Sukkot and Beis, quotes others, he quotes the Sman, he quotes others also say, but he does say at the end that you have to weigh the circumstances carefully. Look at the case. Okay, what are the chances? Okay, I mean everything has, let's say they talk about it with regard to kidney donations. Okay, now there's some danger to the donor, some danger, you go on anesthesia, there's some danger. Okay. Then what's the danger? What's the percentage? What's the, you know, 50-50, that's a real danger. What if it's, 95-5? Okay, there's always some danger. So that's the Pesach Tshuva right to the end. Ulam Tzorach Lishkol Inyan Heitev. If you ask, was there a real suffix sakana? No, it's not a real suffix sakana. Okay, it's a little bit of a suffix, but you can handle it. Okay? Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos writes also, Sim Shinchov Tes Sivches, if you see a boat sink and there are Jews on there, or water flood comes and so on and forth. You can, so on and so forth. You can be Mechal Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch Harav there. It's in Mishnah Chof Tes Sif Ches in 58. Also says, but ain lo l'sakein atzmo kadei lahatzel l'schaveru. But you don't have to risk your own life. Okay, and it's a further question. We're allowed to. You certainly don't have to. And Shabur also says there in Mishnah Chof Tes and Kot Yutes, b'kol mokom yesh sakana lahamatzel eino mechuyu dechayev kodem lechayev chaveru. Your life comes first. If it's some kind of a suffix, you don't have to. And if even a suffix is enough. But again, he also, you know, also does say that tzarich lishkol advarim heitev. You have to weigh the situation carefully. Or chashulchan tu and sin choshamishpat sin atav chavav sin dalad. He quotes this Yerushalmi, but again, he says, we assume not like that. You don't have to give up your life. So, getting back to our inyan rabosai, that would seem to mean if our only heter or only justification for calling a war when our enemies have attacked us is based on Rodef, well, then we would say before we said maybe, there are exceptions to Rodef. You have to try and not kill the guy. But here's an even bigger exception. We would say if there's a sakana, I don't have to participate. Well, Rabosa, every war is a sakana, right? So if it's based just on Rodef, it seems to me that, you know, again, if you hold like the Yosef quotes and that goes Maimonides, then you have to risk your life, okay. But if you hold like what seems to be the more generally agreed upon consensus opinion, seems to be that you don't have to. So then anytime there's a war, a guy can say, well, I'm not going to participate. It's because nefesh, right? I don't have to put my life at risk for another purpose. And yet by Mechemes Mitzvah, we said at the outset of this year, everybody's got to go out. Why can't everybody just say, because nefesh? I don't obligated to endanger my life. Now, one could make a distinction and say, maybe you're not obligated to endanger your life to save one Jew in danger, but to save all of Klal Yisrael, then all bets are off. Then you have to.
Rabbi, it could be that that's why the Chumash gave those specific
only those cases
exemptions.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. So, but the point being that one could make a distinction, but maybe that whole exemption that, you know, you don't have to put your life at risk and so on, that's only to save one guy. Okay, you don't have to save all of Kaiser. But interesting, Rameir Simcha, the Meshech Chochma, Rameir Simcha, Chon of Dvinsk, right, lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. His commentary on the Chumash in Source 63 is called Meshech Chochma. His commentary on the Rambam called the Or Sameach, same author, Rameir Simcha. So he writes, you know, the Pasuk in Parsha Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent back to Mitzrayim, okay, to go redeem the Jewish people after the burning bush. So Hashem said to him, Parak Dal, which most possibly good test, remember, Moshe ran away in the first place because after he killed the Egyptian, those two, you know, Egyptians being the Jew. So he killed the Egyptian. So then when people found out about it, they wanted to kill Moshe, so he had to run away. Hashem told him after all those years, however long he was there, okay, we don't know for sure, we've been rushing about it, however long he was there, Moshe ran away back to Mitzrayim because Hashem said, don't worry, all the people who are after you are dead. So you're not going to be in danger going back. So Meshech Chacham writes an astonishing thing. He says, it's mashma from here that if they were still alive and your life was in danger, he would not have had to go back, even for the purpose of Lahotzi v'Esom Mitzrayim. That's what Meir Simcha writes. He writes, Muchachdim hayu chayim, hamavakshim esnafsho, lo haya tzorach lahalech Lahotzi v'Esom Mitzrayim. How do you like that? Even for all of Klai Yisrael. And Meir Simcha, he says it too, in the Rambam, Hilchos Utzeach, Perek Zayin, Halacha Ches, Meir Simcha says the same thing. Okay, even to save all the Jewish people. Rav Kook doesn't buy that. Rav Kook and one of his Jewish Mishpat Kohen, Simon Kuf, Mem Gimel, and others, Simon around there, says, no, it's very different. The Tzibor is a different story. I don't know if he quotes the Meshach HaOlam. I didn't see he quoted him, but he disagrees. He said, no, that's by an individual, but he thinks a Dover Pashut, that, you know, Bechama, everyone's got to go out to war and so on. And you can't let, when there are many lives in danger, you can't, the Milchama and the Hilchot Tzibor shining. And for that reason, really, other Achronim make the point. The Minchas Chinuch, in the midst of Tov Chav Hei, Oz Gimel, okay, talking about the Mechemes Mitzvah, okay, talking about Mechemes Mitzvah. So Minchas Chinuch says, one second, but how could it be? Tzorach Ian, the second line of 56, Nehi Dechol HaMitzvah, Nidachim Le'asakana. We push aside all mitzvahs when there's danger of life. You can eat in Yom Kippur if there's danger of life. You can, Chal Shabbos is a danger of life. You can eat treif, you can eat chametz, whatever. You do whatever you have to do. So he says, what do you mean, man? There's a sakana here too. All right, but nevertheless, in Mekol Mokom, Mitzuzu da Torah Tzivs al-Chomachem, since the Torah has the institution of Mechametz Mitzvah, obviously, Pikuach Nefesh, Sakana Nefesh, Harsha doesn't apply here. Otherwise, you couldn't have the whole institution. The Adua da Torah lo Tismo Dina Alanez, Torah is not telling, oh, you go out to war, no war, no one's going to die. I mean, Derech Ha'olam, Nerogam, Yishtayat Stodim, Nebuch, right, we're talking about going to ground war. We know there are going to be casualties in Gaza if they go in the ground war. Nebuch. Can't rely on a miracle. So when you're going out to war, the nature of war is that people on both sides are killed. Okay? Nevertheless, the Torah, since the Torah says you have to wage war, then it's a Mechemes Mitzvah, then even if your life's in danger, that's not an excuse. That's why it goes beyond road danger, as I'm trying to point out. Okay? So, and the Tziv says that also in his commentary on that Gemara in Erevin that we saw before, Mem Hamid Beis. The Tziv in the Morome Sada in 67 also says the same thing. Okay? We ain't no Chosna comes from Foshet. The shiny Sakonis Mechoma. Bishari Sakonos. In a war, it's a different story. All those rules of Pikuach Nefesh don't apply during wartime. Okay? Because and therefore, it's not really based, it's based solely on Rodev. So what's it based on? So it could be partially on Rodev, but it goes further than Rodev because we see the Mechemes Mitzvah, even like the Rambam says, the Miri said, is even to defend the Jewish country and so on, to save many lives, but even to defend Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, B'midbar, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasukim Nun Gimel through Nun Hei. Barashtem Asaretz Yishavtem Bo, right? We have the mitzvah to dwell in Eretz Yisrael and get rid of our enemies. And it says an interesting thing, right? In Pasuk Nun Hei, we know that's true. Lo Sorishu Yisoshuat Mechem Ha'asher Sosir Mehem L'sikim Enechem U'litzninim B'tzidechem. Whatever enemies you don't get rid of, you leave them in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be thorns in your side. And don't we know it? Okay, you leave them alone, they're going to be thorns in your side. But sorrow is some of the arts and shirt and they're going to cause trouble to you. Okay, so the Ramban learns that there's a mitzvah essay to settle Eretz Yisrael applies even today. The Rambam doesn't count in the Tayag, the Rambam does. The Ramban does. Ramban at the end of this mitzvah essay has what he calls a shikacha sa'esen. Mitzvah he thinks the Rambam forgot, he left out. And the Rambam, he has certain mitzvahs that he thinks the Rambam should have counted and didn't. And those are the others that he thinks the Rambam did count and shouldn't have. And somehow they all come to 613. Okay. But in terms of the one that he thought the Rambam didn't count, to look at number four, Mitzvah Revius 69 and Shichas Ha'esen, the Rambam writes, Shenitztavino L'Reshas Ha'artz Ha'shenos Ha'kriz Baruch V'Yizala L'Avram L'Avosein Ha'Avram Yitzhu V'Yakov V'lo Nazva B'Yad Zulosein Ha'min Ha'umos. We're not allowed to leave the land in the hands of others if we're able to. We're not allowed to leave. That's part of the mitzvah, says Ramban. And the truth is, it could well be the Rambam agrees to that because the Rambam did, although he didn't count settling Eretz Yisrael, he did count Hachrim Tachrimim to knock out the current inhabitants of the land. He counted that as a mitzvah. In fact, the Avnezer writes in the Tshuva, that's why the Rambam didn't count the separate mitzvah to settle in Eretz Yisrael, because obviously there's a mitzvah to knock out the people who live there, Hachrim Tachrimim. There's obviously not to land a lie empty, and so you'll populate it. That's why the Rambam didn't count the separate mitzvah. Be that as it may, if you hold it, the Rambam agrees with that Ramban. Lo nazo biyad zuloseinu. That's why it's a Mechemes Mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Forget the fact that Ram doesn't count an entire mitzvah, so we'll figure out why, a different time, but he'll count this, lo nazo biyad zuloseinu. So maybe that's also a factor today. It's a Mechemes Mitzvah not just, you know, to defend multiple Jewish lives, like the cook said, not like there was some, but we don't worry about Rodev. It's not just built on Rodev. It's like the Minchas Chinuch and the Nativ said, the laws of Sakana and Milchamot are different ballgame altogether. But it may be also because of this Indian, almost. If we have the power, okay, at certain times we didn't have the power, okay, you don't have to fight a losing war. You know you're going to lose. If you know you're going to lose, then you don't fight. I mean, it's clear, like Yochanan Zakkai gave up Yerushalayim, gave up the Beis HaMikdash, because he saw no match for the Roman Empire at some point. But if you can, then lo nazo biyadzu l'seinu. And that's what the Rambam says. Therefore, the Rambam counts. When an enemy attacks us, that's a Mechemes Mitzvah. So I personally don't think there's any much doubt that we're dealing with Mechemes Mitzvah today. It's to defend and save many Jewish lives, and it's to make sure that others don't take over Eretz Yisrael. And we'll have all the dinner on the Chemes Mitzvah, at least according to the Rambam. So it's not like Rashi said, it's not Yoshua, and it's not and maybe it is Amalek, maybe it's not Amalek, but it's for this reason. Just to end on a positive note, the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, says, Milchama, source 70, Milchama nami aschalta de gula hi. Milchama, a war, is aschalta de gula. It's a sign of the coming redemption. It's the beginning of redemption. Which war doesn't say? You know, the truth is, Chassam Sofer in the 1800s thought that a certain war in Europe was a Schalta de Gula. Milchas Elazar, you know, in Munkach thought that the World War I maybe was a Schalta de Gula. Nafkamina is you shouldn't daven for the war to end. You should daven for us to win the war, not to end, because the war is a Schalta de Gula. Now, it's hard to say that those wars have nothing to do with the Jews per se, okay, in a literal sense, but it would seem to me for sure if the war is in Eretz Yisrael, like now, and then that's Avada Schalta de Gula. Maybe you can argue about the Franco-Prussian war, whatever war the Chassam Sofer was talking about, or the you know, World War I. Okay, you can argue maybe that's not Aschalta de Gula, but a war in Eretz Yisrael, that's for sure what the Gemara means. Mechama nami Aschalta de Gula, war in Eretz Yisrael for control of Eretz Yisrael, that's about Aschalta de Gula. So we have to hope that this war, Kosh Baruch Hu, should protect our soldiers and should give everyone who needs a Refor Shlema, and the hostages will be held in captivity, will be redeemed, all the things we're davening for. But we have to hope in the long run that this will qualify as Aschalta de Gula. Wish everybody a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Yeah.